You're listening to Radio EcoShock every Friday at 1 o'clock on CFRO 102.7 FM, Co-op Radio in Vancouver. This hard-hitting speech on climate change was given by author and Guardian columnist George Monbiot in Vancouver on November the 15th, 2006. It was recorded by Radio EcoShock. This is CFRO 102.7 Co-op Radio in Vancouver. You're listening to author George Monbiot speaking on Heat, How to Stop the Planet Burning, on November the 15th, 2006, at the Canadian Memorial Church in Vancouver. You've been listening to a speech by author George Monbiot. You can get his book, Heat, How to Stop the Planet Burning, at Banyan Books, which presented this talk at the Canadian Memorial Church on November the 15th, 2006. You're listening to CFRO 102.7 Co-op Radio here in Vancouver. This is Radio EcoShock, the regular Friday show on the environment. You can find out more about George Monbiot, spelled M-O-N-B-I-O-T, at monbiot.com. And you can download a copy of this speech to play for friends, to forward on to people at the office, get the word out there, at www.ecoshock.org. Now we move on to the mess in Nairobi.
Happening in Africa right now. The weather patterns are shifting, droughts are becoming longer, and the predictions are for a more hostile climate to come. With those warnings in mind, Kofi Annan, the outgoing UN Secretary General, has arrived in Kenya. He's here to take part in a major round of international talks on global warming. For the first time, the world's environment ministers and experts are holding their annual meeting here, the aim to highlight the need for action in Africa to help those who'll suffer most. Opening the talks, Mr. Annan described how a warmer world would spread disease, endanger food supplies, and undo recent efforts at development.
All of us want to create a world of harmony among human beings and between them and the natural environment on which life depends. That vision, which has always faced long odds, is now being placed in deeper jeopardy by climate change.
Everyone here talks of urgency. The impacts are already severe, but international diplomacy on climate change is moving very slowly. David Shukman, BBC News in Nairobi.
The question was put to her, is Canada the new United States as far as a whipping boy, as far as not helping move forward with the Kyoto Protocols? She had this to say to us.
There should be no bad guy. All countries recognize that are here today. As you know, there's countries that are in the Kyoto Protocol, and there's countries that are in the United Nations framework as well, but they're all here to make progress. They're all here to show that their citizens back home, that this is an important issue, and that we make progress. It's really important here that we start to talk about, because we're talking about the next phase, that we talk about inclusivity, that we don't isolate countries and criticize them when they are taking measures, that when we see them taking measures, we encourage them.
This is Alex Smith, just reporting on news that affects the world. It's a mess in Nairobi, Kenya, as nations scramble to legitimize a policy of doing nothing. These are the climate talks trying to establish climate talks in the future to discuss the future, and no one can agree on that. The Arctic is melting. Scientists report increasing ice quakes, shocking movements under the Greenland ice sheet. That body holding 10% of the world's fresh water and melting fast. Glaciers all over the world are disappearing like actors at the end of the play. The rainforests may become grasslands, the grasslands, deserts. Millions of the world's poorest are already suffering and dying from climate change. Humans are dividing along economic lines, blaming each other for the carbon fallout. Americans, obese with energy eating, want people in China and India, those with the thinnest fossil fuel profiles per person, to go on an industrial diet. Europe is playing some game of delay, perhaps waiting for America to change with the new political tide. The American Greenpeace representative, Steve Sawyer, a realist on the U.S. system, says, "Don't wait for us." By the time the American colossus turns at the top and finally skids toward a detour, the number of living things and the surface area still habitable for them will have shrunk beyond recognition. Climate refugees, and even those who stay behind, flooded out or without water, will need massive aid. Yet the few millions already promised never reaches them. We are at the edge of a world-scale genocide, not as witnesses, but as fossil fuel addicts roaring with horsepower, but silent with responsibility and lacking compassion. Reports on the process of the world climate negotiators are so tedious, even policy wonks can barely stand it. Everyone calls for action. No one agrees on when, who, or what. Here are a few clips from one of the few radio investigators brave enough to wade into this swamp. Phil England is a producer and host for a program on Resonance FM, an alternative station in London, England. Well, really, it's the alternative voice in London. The show is called 2 degrees, because that's the limit of average temperature rise the current ecosystem can tolerate before runaway climate change may begin. Phil has interviewed the scientists and the government men. Now he's covering the Nairobi talks. It's All Climate Radio, archived at coinnet, coinet.org.uk/information/climate_radio.
One of the difficulties that we face here is that we're really trying to do something that humans have not done before, which is act in a concerted effort on a global scale over a decadal time frames to address a global problem. Human beings haven't really worked together that way before, but that's one of the things that we're asking them to do here. And unfortunately, that takes time. But time is not on our side, and time is one of the critical issues facing this conference.
Welcome to the 2 Degrees Show, the UK's weekly show dedicated to climate change. We're halfway through the UN climate talks in Nairobi, and our mission today is to offer you an assessment of where things are at. We'll be doing that by presenting what the Alliance of Environmental Charities and the UN Secretariat have been saying in their press conferences over the last few days. The two main spokespeople you'll hear are Steve Sawyer, who you heard at the top of the programme, and who works for Greenpeace in the United States, and is also the main spokesman for the Climate Action Network, the umbrella group for hundreds of non-governmental organisations who are trying to positively influence the talks.
Here is the plot. Everyone knows the previous agreement, called the Kyoto Protocol, was made in 1997, before we knew just how serious our contributions to greenhouse gases had become. Kyoto merely called on developed countries to revert to 1990 levels of pollution, as high as those were. Hardly anyone did, and recent reports seem to show that carbon dioxide is pouring into the atmosphere completely out of control. So the diplomats and the technocrats are supposed to review Kyoto and set new standards capable of saving ourselves and the known climate, with an agreement by 2008 and a starting date for implementation of 2012. That year, 2012, is when the Kyoto Agreement runs out and we will have nothing, no international effort. America, the world's biggest polluter, never ratified Kyoto. Australia says they don't want to play. The new Conservative government of Canada appears to be backing out. The country with the largest single increase in direct human carbon is China, so far left out of emissions caps and wanting to stay that way. Indonesia may be emitting even more carbon than China due to burning down their rainforests, but we don't know for sure. Europe, a great talker, but addicted and conflicted, is, as Phil England tells us, dithering.
Another possible explanation for EU dithering is that it's waiting for the US to come back on board. Steve Sawyer of Greenpeace gave an assessment of the effect of the recent swing to the Democrats in the US. As a result of the congressional elections, would we now see legislation coming forward in the US that forces them to re-engage with the Kyoto process? Or does the world have to hold out for a new president in 2008?
Thank you. My name is Jakob Meyer from German Radio. Could you tell us something about your concerns and hopes after the shifts in majority in the US Congress to bring them back in the boat sometime?
Certainly a political tsunami is sweeping across the United States. The pendulum has swung and it's moving back in the right direction. But it was so far to the right and so far in the wrong direction, it's going to take a long time before the United States gets back into a position where it can take leadership in this process. We believe that day is coming, but it's going to be a long time, 3-4 years at least. We hear a lot of talk, and this is maybe the source of some of the waffling from within the EU, that we want to wait for the United States. Well, waiting for the United States basically means that you put off the second commitment period Kyoto negotiations to the point where they don't mean much anymore.
According to Steve Sawyer, the leader of the nonprofit climate organizations and a man who knows America too well, it would be suicidal for the assembled nations to postpone talks for more years, waiting for a possible new regime in Washington. The transition, if it ever comes, will take too long. The world's ecosystem waits for no one. A failed process here can mean everyone is moving far north or far south to escape the storms, heat, and dead zones in the middle. From the press conferences, passed on by the 2 Degrees Show, this is Yovo de Boer, Executive Secretary of the UN Climate Change Secretariat.
I do not think that formal mandate to begin discussing the future should be given here. I think it's too early to give that formal mandate. The ad hoc working group and the dialogue, which will be holding meetings for several years, were exactly intended to begin exploring the future in an informal way. So I think that those two processes should be given the time they need. And secondly, I think that this COP, by delivering on a number of issues that are important to developing countries, can help to build the confidence that is essential to begin talking about the future. So I would say that this conference of parties is too early to...
That's right. The time is not yet ripe for talks that will determine the talks about preserving our future. The center cannot hold. International mechanisms are stunned. Nationalism is triumphant. Talk is the objective, not the cause of anything. It is time to go to the streets, to devote your spare time to spare the planet, to convert everyone you know and a lot of people you don't know.
The UN talks continue this week, with draft decisions coming out of the various sub-bodies, and ministers start arriving for the high-level segment and the open-ended dialogue on future action. Nicholas Stern is also due to make a presentation on his report on the economics of climate change. Next week, we'll be getting some expert analysis on how the talks turned out. In the meantime, you can follow the progress of the talks on the UN website at www.unfccc.int, and also the Climate Action Network and its daily eco bulletin, which you can find at www.climatenetwork.org. And if you want to hear this show again, it will be archived shortly at coinnet, that's coinet.org.uk/climate radio. As Steve Sawyer from Greenpeace said at the top of the show, the clock is ticking and time is running out.
That's it for Radio EcoShock this week on CFRO 102.7 FM Co-op Radio here in Vancouver. Join us next week on Friday at 1 o'clock and every Friday for all environment news.